Now, the Irish government are looking to highlight the fact that new border controls come into place for January for Irish businesses exporting to the UK. This is along the lines, I suppose, of what's happening with the Windsor framework. But new changes come in on the 31st of January. In order to find out more and talk also about the future pensions of Irish workers, I spoke to Minister for State for European Affairs, Peter Burke, about his awareness campaign.
Yes, so the UK are now setting in procedures in place for all goods that are being imported into the country. Essentially, this is one of the outworkings from Brexit. And the UK now have determined that the end of January is the point that all Irish exporters who particularly export agri-foods and produce in that area will have to embark on pre-notification checks. So they will have to pre-notify the port authorities or the freight company that they're dealing with that they're bringing goods into the UK. And this pre-notification process will have to be done. And I really want to encourage all businesses who export to the UK to review their supply chains, to talk to their customers and make sure they're familiar with the process. And all details are on gov.ie/Brexit.
So this was meant to be rolled out several times. It was delayed several times. So is this going to add much to the bureaucracy or the onus or the cost or the paperwork of exporting to the United Kingdom?
Yes, you're right, Gerry. It was supposed to be rolled out on two other occasions, and they just published what the actual rules were going to be a couple of months ago. So now we know exactly what we will have to do, and it will be an additional cost to business, there is no doubt. But what we want to do is that if your goods are in a high-risk category, just to be aware of it, because there's a medium, low and high-risk category of goods that the UK have determined. If you're at a high category, you may require a veterinary inspector to get an export health certificate to bring the produce over to the UK. So people need to be aware of what category their goods fall into and to be prepared for the paperwork that are going to be required on foot of that. But in Brexit, there is always going to be paperwork, and we're looking to the next horizon in October 2024 even, when the UK are due to introduce physical checks. So we need to be prepared for all of these eventualities, and we don't want essentially businesses turning up at the port and being refused because they haven't done the pre-notification checks.
Is it your hope that this will not lead to actual physical delays on the ground in exporting at different ports and crossing points? Or is that more likely to happen next October, like you said?
Absolutely. Reviewing the rules, it's very clear that they can be interpreted quite easily. So traders will be able to go through the pre-notification checks and ensure that their produce meets the requirement when it reaches the port. We're also very clear to point out that the all-island economy is protected through the Windsor framework, so north-south trade does not have to go through this procedures. But anyone who is exporting beyond the UK but using the UK as a land bridge going through the territory, they need to be aware that they will also be required to pre-notify the port authorities as well. So they need to talk to their suppliers and supply chains to make sure that they meet the criteria that's been set by Her Majesty's services.
And this comes in at the end of January, so businesses have 2 months to get things in order.
Absolutely, they have 2 months, and if they log on to our website, gov.ie/Brexit, you'll see the three different categories that goods fall into. You'll see examples therein of where your produce may fit, and also we will show you how to embark upon the pre-notification checks. And we've also employed a number of additional veterinary health inspectors, because for some produce that the UK have deemed a higher risk, we will have to inspect it through the Department of Agriculture. So we've put the infrastructure in place to do that now as well.
Okay. Do you think that this will change again, or is likely to change again, or will this be unaffected by any sort of changes that may happen to the Windsor framework, with the hope, obviously, of getting Stormont back up and running and the DUP in agreement with some sort of an arrangement for the future of both the Republic and Northern Ireland vis-a-vis the European Union?
So the Windsor framework is entirely separate, and indeed the EU has already put its rules in place for the protection of the single market, and we know those, your listeners will be familiar with hearing the terms green and red lanes. But the UK have not decided until now what rules they're going to impose on goods coming into their country, and that's what we're trying to work through now, and that's going to be a staged process. As I said, the first will be pre-notifying the authorities, the customs, what you have going into the country, and the second will be some sort of physical checks. We don't know what they will be as yet, next October 2024, but we're working so hard trying to get the institutions back up and running in Stormont. We know problems are escalating. Citizens really need those who have been elected to stand up and be counted, and deliver devolved government for the citizens of Northern Ireland. We will continue to work with that. And I know there's a number of meetings that are ongoing with my own department, and indeed the Department of Taoiseach, supporting the five political party leaders up there to try and achieve that.
Minister, can I ask you on a separate issue, and it's to business as well. We're learning this morning take-up pay is going to be affected by an increase in PRSI. The amount we pay is set to rise from October and pretty much every October from here for the next couple of years. It'll mean the average worker's pay will reduce by €46 every year and is a cost to business. Is this the cost of keeping the pension age at 66?
Absolutely. I think it's very clear that our demographics show we are living longer, which is a very strong testament to how much our services have improved. But as a cost of that and keeping the retirement age at 66, we need to protect the social insurance fund, and that's the fund that pays all the pensions right throughout the state. And obviously if people are living in essence more than a decade longer than they were 50 years ago, we need to ensure that fund can deliver those key pension payments to all our citizens. So this is a moderate trajectory of increases over the next few years to ensure that the fund will stay in a stable position and will be able to pay out. And unfortunately, I know businesses are coping with a lot at the moment. You have sick pay, you have auto-enrolment for pensions, and you have a lot of other areas that are trying to grapple with costs escalating. We have a cost of business fund, hopefully, which will be announced in the next couple of weeks, which will give a payment back, hopefully, in maybe 50% of their rates back to them to help them with the cost of doing business. We want that to be efficient and to get to them quickly. But I do appreciate this is a difficult time for business, but unfortunately, in order to keep the pension age stable and to ensure the money is there to pay pensioners, we need to take this action.